You got a team, here's a word of the wise. You want to dominate your league? Go to Football Guys.
Football, I'm living in a fantasy. Football, got everybody mad at me. Football, because every game I had to win. Football, I got to be a champion.
Blakey Blake, right? You got to be a champion, and you got to be a champion in the fantasy playoffs. Week 15 preview, part one, Wednesday morning. Cecil Lammy, Sigmund Bloom, 49ers and Seahawks. Now, short week. Brock Purdy is banged up, but we'll get another data point here. Bloom, we've gotten some questions about Geno Smith. We'll get to the Seahawks in just a little bit. But the 49ers side is interesting because we don't really know yet about Brock Purdy. It looked good. Right. System looks good, but he's also battling two injuries. I feel like the two Bobs in Office Space. Like, how about two injuries for Brock Purdy after 1 week of starting? Well, this could be a second week, and as far as we know, everything's on track, and that will have a trickle-down effect everyone else. No Debo Samuel. Maybe he'll be back by the postseason. So let's discuss how the 49ers and their division foe, these two teams hate each other. It's going to be a good game, a hard-fought game, regardless of who are the quarterbacks.
Yeah, this was a peak rivalry on Steelers-Ravens level when it was Kaepernick and Wilson. It was a tremendous, tremendous rivalry, and one that, like Baltimore-Pittsburgh for a while, it always had a big effect on the playoff standings, and this one will too. San Fran can clinch the division. These two teams played back in week two. It was a romp for San Fran. 27-7. The running game did a lot. Brock Purdy's a streamer, but a low-end streamer. I don't know if we're going to get a rushing touchdown. I don't know if we're going to see him have to throw a lot. Really, it depends on Geno Smith, right? The better Geno Smith plays, the better Brock Purdy is going to be as a streamer, but he's also coming a little banged up. Don't forget about Josh Johnson. I think you're going to see Christian McCaffrey touch the ball 25 times, maybe more. Jordan Mason touched the ball 10, 12, 15 times. And really, you're going for a game that is ball possession, time of possession, and force Geno Smith to have to pull a rabbit out of the hat here. With Debo Samuel out three-ish weeks, I think you can drop him, sadly, in your typical redraft league. That makes George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk a little bit safer plays. Let's watch for Juwan Jennings. Remember, he's more the layup in the passing game, like Debo Samuel, like Christian McCaffrey. So maybe Jennings could come on. But again, if this game goes as planned, Brock Purdy's not going to throw much, and it'll look like the first one when San Francisco won pretty easily.
And on the 49ers, excuse me, on the Seahawks side of things, try typing and talking at the same time. It doesn't work, Bloom.
No, we can't do two things. I remember when Kate and I first got together, she said, "You think you can do two things at once, but you really can't."
Sage-like wisdom.
Yeah, that's why we need wives or husbands or, you know, partners.
We need people. We need community. We need to talk about Seattle and that side of things. And, okay, the running back position is, like, who's it going to be now? Like, all right, let's talk about the injured backfield. Let's talk about Geno Smith. Now, DK Metcalf was removed from the injury report with his little hip thing, so that's good. Mm-hmm. Kenneth Walker did practice in full. He was limited the day before. There's a little ankle there. DJ Dallas not practicing, whatever. But if Walker can go, he's the man. And then, well, the rest of the Seattle offense, which we already know.
Right. It's Geno Smith. It's really going to revolve around Geno Smith. We might see Kenneth Walker play. I guess you'll play him. This is kind of like Travis Etienne and Saquon Barkley last week, where you know it's not going to be good, but you feel remorse if you leave him on the bench and he goes off, breaks a long run or something like that. Seattle's run blocking hasn't exactly been great lately either. If Walker can't go, then it falls even more on Geno's shoulders, but don't you feel like it's going to be that way anyway? Geno's walking a tightrope here for fantasy because San Francisco's defense, ask Tom Brady, San Francisco's defense is peaking right now. So Geno Smith, not necessarily a quarterback one like we thought of him for most of the year, even though, again, it's going to fall on him to throw to Geno. It's going to throw to Lockett, to Metcalf. They're going to be in your lineup. They've been too consistent. Marquise Goodwin, sleeper of the week. Sleeper of the week, Cease, maybe. He looked good last week. So athletic. And certainly a player, when you have to go through a pass-heavy game plan, that can help you whenever defenses are going to be focused on Metcalf and Lockett. And for Seattle, slip sliding away those playoff hopes. I'm not going to mention the Lions. Okay, I just did. The point is that this is a tough game, their toughest game left probably. But if they lose this one, now your heart starts to beat a little faster about whether they can actually get a playoff berth out of this feel-good story.
Yes, and Bloom, you kind of brought it up, so I will bring it up because it is the fantasy playoffs, which means it's time to talk about Marcy Rossman.
Sure.
The Marcy Rossman rule, because you brought it up with Walker and Geno. It's like, well, you kind of know this, but you also know you'll be morose, right?
Yeah.
Look at this morose blanky blanker right here. Yeah, so when you have these situations, the playoffs changes some things because you can't miss out on what got you here if they do go off, even though they may not go off because circumstances are different now.
Well, the Marcy Rossman rule and the school dance. I think that in this case, the interesting thing about Geno's not who brung you. Geno's who you found at the beginning of the dance when your date ditched you. Right. So
yeah.
Is he who brung you? Kind of. And the other thing is, this season, Cease, if this is the school dance this season, we've had something where we all had to evacuate the gym. You know, some bomb threat was called in or something. Somebody spiked a punch.
It was like, It's a Wonderful Life when they open it up and the swimming pool's underneath, right? And all the kids fall in. Yeah.
Right.
So just jump in, baby. Jump in.
I mean, the power went out. You don't even know who you were dancing with until the lights went back on. You know, this has been a chaotic season. So we'll see. We'll see how that works. Because who have we even felt like brought us to the playoffs with the exception of a short list of players? I think it's something good to think about that this year in fantasy football, having your mind limber, being open to things changing, being open to volatility has been rewarded. We'll see if that continues to be rewarded in the playoffs.
The Marcy Rossman will rule with an addendum. Not only dance with who brung you, Bloom, dance with everybody.
Yeah, and dance with whoever has rhythm, really.
Or who doesn't. Tell me to throw a lasso around the room, around the moon. Okay, Colts and Vikings is up next. Let's talk about that because, well, the Colts side, it is Indianapolis.
Yeah.
It is the fantasy playoffs. I'm thinking, you've got tight ends coach leaving for a college job, or Matt Ryan confirmed to start in week 15. Okay. Last time Michael Pittman Jr. was out there at 2 for 16. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, like, you should have more hope in your Colts. Obviously, hope in Jonathan Taylor, you always do, but it just doesn't seem as interesting.
No. Well, you would look at this as a matchup that you want to circle for the passing game, the way the Vikings pass defense has been, but not so much. And it's a test. It's a test for Frank Reich. It's a test to see. Are you going to rely on Jonathan Taylor? I think Jonathan Taylor coming off the bye. Why not give Jonathan Taylor 28 carries? Just keep running the ball until the Vikings show that they can stop it. So maybe Pittman, Paris Campbell, Alec Pierce, not as attractive plays, even though the matchup data would suggest that. Matt Ryan, and that's the other thing. Matt Ryan has been a turnover fest waiting to happen. So you keep him in a conservative mindset. Again, a lot of Jonathan Taylor in this one, I expect. And don't forget, 8-8-1 can win the AFC South. Tennessee still has games. Okay. Tennessee is not in the clear yet. And if you look at what Indy has going forward, the Chargers, the Chargers are coming on, but you never know what you're gonna get with them. And the Giants in Houston. So this game on the road, this is gonna be maybe their toughest test, or certainly a game that if they win this game and Tennessee loses to those Chargers that they play next week, we'll start to turn. You start thinking about it. So it's not over. This is a chaotic season. I think the teams that have 8 losses right now, including the Colts, 9-8 might get you into the playoffs. And there's a lot of teams that you could run the table, right? Why not? I mean, the way this NFL has been this year. So I think that's going to be interesting to see how roused up they are for this game. Whereas the Vikings, are they being unmasked, exposed?
Exposed, or just what happens during NFL season. Do we really want to see Jeff Saturday run the table?
Right.
Do we really want to see for the overarching effects of, like, well, Jeff Saturday
did Frank
it.
Reich. My gosh. I said Frank Reich. Why my brain? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jeff Saturday, who's putting out there, didn't he say, like, I wouldn't mind being the coach next year. That'd be okay. Right?
Oh my god.
I'm open to it.
Did Jeff Saturday become a pick me guy?
Right.
You know, pick me. Yeah. Okay. I wouldn't mind if Minnesota got their act together. Now, obviously, Bloom, we know Dalvin Cook, then Justin Jefferson, all that. Yes. And it's about the win. So I think our football conversation is different from our fantasy football conversation.
Sure.
When it comes to this team, is KJ Osborne the sleeper of the week? Is right. Adam Thielen? Adam Thielen's almost sleeper of the week levels, but, you know, flex play, whatever.
Yeah.
And TJ Hockenson coming through, like, okay, keep that up. But they can have monster games from Justin Jefferson, and they cannot win. So, again, the conversations are different, but we're focused on fantasy on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, and fantasy-wise, you know, you saw with Cousins having to pass a lot because of the suspect pass defense that there was something there, a big game there, 400-plus yard game there for him. But this week, he may not need to do that, again, because the Colts' pass offense is not exactly going to spread their wings and be like a Pegasus here. But it is going to be Cousins to Jefferson. Cook is slowing down. Whatever Cook does in this game from a fantasy standpoint, maybe he'll get two short rushing touchdowns or something. It looks like he's slowing down. He's not looking like a league winner. Maybe that makes more fall on Cousins' shoulders. That helps Thielen as a play. Hockenson's been super dependable for fantasy at the tight end position since he got traded to the Vikings. We did see Osborne do something against Detroit like he did earlier in the season. But what we're really watching here, Cease, is that late season fade. If this is going to be a team that eking out all these one score games, continuing to lead the division, are they running out of gas here? Because I think you are going to see the Jeff Saturday Colts. We're seeing effort. We're seeing a lot of emotion, intensity from this team. So on our three-game slate on Saturday, remember, these are Saturday games.
Yes.
So again, before you go out for all your holiday parties this weekend, make sure your lineup is set, because you would hate to lose your playoff game because, well, you have a life. And fantasy football isn't the first thing you think about. So there's some lineups to set. This is the one that gets us started, and then we get some divisional matchups in the afternoon and evening.
Holy crap, what is today? Oh, God, I got a holiday party tomorrow.
Ooh, don't sit on the copier. You just reminded me.
Yeah, because I did an RSVP because I'm just like, I don't know if it's antisocial, Bloom. It's just like, do I really want to go holiday party?
Right.
And then I got the call after not emailing. Mm-mm. And when you get the call, that means like it would be very important if you could be there at the company Christmas party. Mm-hmm. Okay, I will be there with bells on. I don't know. I don't know.
They'll know you're coming if you have bells on.
Exactly. Maybe I'll sneak in like a ninja. All right. What are we talking about? Oh, Cleveland. Hey.
Baltimore.
Cleveland. Hey. There we go. All right. Another Saturday game. Three Saturday games. Baltimore, Cleveland. And the Baltimore side is, I guess, J.K. Dobbins isn't going to be East back.
Right.
Gus Edwards is now a flex. That's fine. If you're relying on DeMarcus Robinson, I don't know why you even made it to the fantasy playoffs. He's battling an illness. Devin Duvernay doesn't do anything. Mandrews was held in check last week. Will that happen this week? As it's the Browns against the Browns? But let's talk about the new Browns and leave. Wait, the old Browns? Yes. Let's talk about the old Browns first, which are now the Ravens. And now with Tyler Huntley, I guess, again, recording Wednesday morning, he's been limited. I guess Tyler Huntley's going to be out there as the starter.
Yeah. Browns versus Brown, Anthony Brown. We'll see. But it doesn't matter who the starter is. This is going to be a run-heavy game plan. J.K. Dobbins, a running back, too. Gus Edwards, he still has room to get better than he was last week. Gus Edwards, what the heck, flex. And they're going to establish the run.
What the heck, flex? Man, yeah, well, I got a soft spot for Gus. So he's a regular flex.
He could be a running back, too, in this game. Look, if you think so, let's take a moment out to say this is going to be a cold and windy game. Okay. So I do think, at least based on the weather forecast as of today, so I do think you might see both of them, they get to last week, like 13, 14, 15 carries. Maybe they get to 17, 18 carries. I'm okay with Gus as a running back to you this week. 32 teams playing, so maybe you don't have to dig quite that deep. And maybe it's just going to be a trade-off. You know, it was a 44-yard run, and Dobbins got the touchdown after that, which is key. See, so usually when a running back busts off a 40, 50-yard run down inside the five, then they don't get the touchdown because they're gassed. So that was a good sign for Dobbins. And you have to play Mark Andrews. You got to play. I understand. And what I mean is, don't get too cute with it. And it could be right. We could look in hindsight and say you should have played Taysom Hill over him, or you should have played Cole Kmet over him.
Right. Come on. Now, Mark Andrews is the Marcy Rossman rule. Like, you got
he is. He absolutely is. Yes, you got to start him. And Baltimore, you know, they just eked out a win. They should have lost to the Steelers last week. what does that mean? You know, this team is on their way to the playoffs, very likely, maybe even the division win and hosting a playoff game. But they should be able to win at least a little more comfortably against this Browns team that, I know, Deshaun Watson, at least early on, hasn't exactly changed their outlook.
I don't like talking about Deshaun Watson. But let's talk about Deshaun Watson and, well, the Browns and their late season fade or just Watson fade. Like, get Deshaun Watson and start not playing as good. Okay, against the Ravens, this one's at home for Cleveland. What are you anticipating and expecting, Bloom?
I'm anticipating Deshaun Watson. Do they still have those big jackets, like the jackets that go all the way down to your feet?
Hey, they got big hats now. They need to have big jackets too.
Right. It's like the jacket they made out of like oven mitt, you know? It's like it's like an oven mitt jacket for your body. That's what I expect to see. Because Deshaun Watson, remember, Clemson, Houston Texans, not a cold weather quarterback. He played a game against the Browns. It was like 10-7 or something like that. You know, just a completely miserable game. I don't know if this one's going to be that bad, but it's going to be uncomfortable. So I'm watching here just to see what kind of cold weather quarterback. You know, you made a deal with Cleveland, so you're going to play in Cleveland in December. Yes, you're going to play Nick Chubb, but the Ravens defense is good. Ravens defense held Najee Harris in check. Nick Chubb's better than Najee Harris, but still, you're going to play Chubb, but you're a little worried here. And then because of the windy weather, I'm not saying Amari Cooper is an essential play. I think Donovan Peoples-Jones could be a better play. Remember Marlon Humphrey out there, the Ravens outside corners. Humphrey, Peters can give up big plays. So it could just take one play. But again, in the wind and the cold, how comfortable is Watson going to be? David Njoku, probably comfortable playing him after his big game. You saw a connection there as he got a touchdown last week. And again, they're 5-8. 9-8 might make it. Certainly beating the old Browns, they're the Ravens now, can be a way to get that started. And they got New Orleans, Washington, and Pittsburgh. So this is probably their toughest game left. So if you're 5-8, you got 8 losses, you're not dead yet. But someone's got to get some hot cocoa or something out there to Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, that's right. Miami and Buffalo is our next game up. And this one is a huge one. Speaking of fade, is that what we're seeing with Miami? Like, is that what the season goes on? I know Tyreek Hill's a little bit banged up and Tua's had his troubles, like all these sorts of things. But like, damn it, I don't want you. You are constantly talking about the Lions, Bloom. And I say that lovingly. I say that lovingly.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about them in a few games.
I'm a little obsessed.
I am a little obsessed with the Dolphins, with Mike McDaniel, my buddy. I don't want to see him fade, man. But yeah. They're on the road against Buffalo. And I'll assume weather's going to be a factor on Saturday. Do we have NFLweather.com? I'll go there now. Like, you talk about the Dolphins.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be some snow, cold, but the wind isn't going to be too bad by the time we get to the evening. But obviously, that's going to be a test for Tua Tagovailoa and this Miami team. And you're right, Cease. I think you hit the right note to start with here. Is this team fading? Tua Tagovailoa is not an obvious start this week. He in the Marcy Rossman rule, Cease, it's like if your date just went to the bathroom to puke, you know, you're still going to dance with them? You guys a little something on your dress. You're going to need to take that to the dry cleaners.
She puked on you, right?
Well, even worse. It was a really rough game for Tua last week. And like you said, Tyreek Hill's banged up. You got to keep playing him. Jalen Waddle's not an obvious play this week. What has he done the last 2 weeks anyway? In some ways, when it's 1 week, it's a fluke. When it's more than 1 week, now we're starting to bet on trends to reverse. Really? In Buffalo? We're going to in the cold? With weather? Yeah. I don't know. Raheem Mostert, you think, okay, well, circle the wagons, give Raheem Mostert 20 carries. But he should have had that last week against the Chargers. What happened there? So you're right. I see this Miami team, smoke's coming out of the hood. And like I've been saying, teams with 8 losses, if they can win out, they can still make the playoffs. Miami has 8 wins. You still got to win a game if you want to make the playoffs, if you want this to be a success story. And you look ahead to Miami's schedule, and they've got Green Bay at New England and the Jets. So, I mean, I guess Green Bay, I mean, that's not even really a gimme, truly, with Aaron Rodgers trying to salvage something for his pride. So you're going to play Tyreek Hill, and I think that's the guy that you're going to trust in this game. And you're going to see, like you said, the more big story here that we're caring about is all the goodness that we saw from the Dolphins. I won't say outproducing expectations, because we knew that in this passing game, there was a top end range of outcomes where Hill and Waddle were just too much to handle when Mike McDaniel was setting up the scheme. but they looked like one of the worst offenses in the league last week against a Chargers defense that we didn't exactly rate as a shutdown unit. Buffalo's defense is better, and they're going to want to get some revenge from the early season loss.
Think about how many seasons we've had now with the fantasy playoffs here this year. It's been that way. And Lester brings up a great point in the chat room this year. If you were to completely give up on guys the second they started looking shady, you'd probably be doing pretty well.
Yeah. Better to be too early than too late this year. I don't know.
Better be there. I don't know. Josh Allen's there. And the Buffalo situation is like, I guess maybe we'll see Cole Beasley. I'm not sure. It's Wednesday morning, so Beasley was added. We talked about him on the Waiver Wire show a little bit. Like, okay, just keep throwing to Stephon Diggs, right? Just keep making that work. And then the running back situation will confuse and confound you. It's week one of the fantasy playoffs, Bloom. I don't want to trust a Buffalo back, especially because they don't have a snowplow. If they had a weather back, if they had a big, right. you know, Antoine Smith, hell, give me a Kenneth Davis. And I know Kenneth Davis wasn't that big, but like, come on, give me that Buffalo back. I know they're fast break, whatever. If they had Gus Edwards.
Fred Jackson. Even yeah. Freddie Jackson. I mean, just somebody who runs with that edge and that physical.
You've been in that eggnog a little bit this morning, Bloom. Freddie Jackson. Looking more like Freddie Jackson, like Frank
There's
Reich.
So many.
You're there... Frank's. It's like Frank and Frank, some Frankenstein. Like, what's going on there? Are you going to have Frank's for lunch?
I don't know if it's a combination of my age and the New Orleans lifestyle. There's so many options for boozy eggnog. See, we have they serve it in jars like moonshine. There's so many places. Like, we go around and we try the different eggnogs. And then I forget what Fred Jackson, the wonderful Fred Jackson's first name is. Josh Allen's still in your lineup. Lower ceiling. I think we can see Josh Allen's not going to be your league winner and might still be a little bit banged up. Doesn't look as sharp. Like you said, Cease, just keep throwing to Stephon Diggs. Gabriel Davis, not an automatic play this week. Okay, especially we'll see if Xavier Howard travels with Diggs, but with Cole Beasley potentially back, you know, you have that riding a bicycle, him in this offense, Isaiah McKenzie not doing much, the running backs as receivers, maybe that takes a little shine off of that. James Cook and Devin Singletary, what can we say? They're both going to be on the field 40-50% of the time. No idea how many times they're going to touch the ball. Maybe if the Bills defense controls this game, I don't even know who's going to be the back. Like you said, Cease, they don't have the snowplow back to close this out. So I'm not sure how to forecast anything outside of Allen to Diggs in this game. And even last week, Diggs didn't do too much. Oh, I guess Dawson Knox, maybe he can get spun around like a top into the end zone again this week. It is, you'll take it at tight end. But you know, Buffalo, CC, you think about like boxing again. I always come back to boxing because my stepdad, may rest in peace, professional boxer, Michael Belsky. That the 11th, 12th round, right? I mean, you're trying to get to the point where the judges' cards give you the number one seed, right? You were the best during the big fight, and then the real fight begins. And in some ways, this is going to help this team. It's going to test this team. It's going to make them ready for just about anything that they could see in the playoffs. But also, you know, you saw these games against the Jets, the first game against the Dolphins. These have been all-out wars, and hopefully they can keep this one from turning into that kind of game, because you can see the damage it's doing to the team. They look like they were a sports car, airplane, super vehicle the first couple weeks of the season, and now they're like a snowplow. They're just trying. They're a tank trying to get to the finish line.
Yeah, big bank tank. That's what you have. Don't get me started on my No Limit Days, NOLIMIT. So, speaking of New Orleans, that's Master P, man.
Make him say,
and Mr. Cal and all that. So, there you go. Hey, we made it to Sunday. What do you know, Bloom? We've only been doing the show for 24 minutes, and we finally made it to Sunday. So, here we go. And this game kind of pisses me off. As I was writing down the games on my handy-dandy little note, I've got to keep track of the timestamps. I wrote down this game and I was like, damn it. I kind of want to see this game in the future, right? Okay. Philadelphia and Chicago. Right. And I'm like, I want to see Chicago more at full strength, you know, with maybe some more assets, pass catching assets primarily, but like, I want to see Justin Fields with a little bit more experience. Like, a Fields hurts. Could this be the NFC's version of Burrow versus Mahomes? Mm-hmm. You bet your ass it could be. Now, it's not that now, Bloom. It's not that today. And the Eagles, our man Jason Wood, really going to be rolling, even though this one's not in Philadelphia. It's in Chicago. But Philadelphia side is like, okay, go back to your normal Philadelphia Eagles and start who you want to start, because they're going up against Chicago. Now, again, NFLweather.com. We'll see who's actually going to be out there or what the weather's going to be like. But let's talk about the Eagles side first in this game that I think in the future could be better than the game we're going to get on Sunday.
Yeah, the game we're going to get on Sunday, again, it's December. These games that are outdoors up in the Great Lakes area. Cold, a little wind. It's going to be a typical weather game, not a bad weather game. The main story for the Eagles is, will Dallas Goedert be back? And I think Dallas Goedert's right at that line where you're playing him over again. Cole Kmet, Taysom Hill, Dawson Knox, these types that haven't necessarily been consistent for us, but you're not going so far to play him over, say, a Hawkinson or a Dalton Schultz, someone that's been more consistent, not in the first week back. But you just, you know, what do you get for the offense that needs everything? You get Dallas Goedert back. And otherwise, Jalen Hurts, MVP. Miles Sanders passing his career high in carries, looking as strong as ever. He's a running back one this week against the depleted Bears defense. Yes, A.J. Brown. Yes, Devontae Smith. Yes, Eagles. And this game always makes me think of Buddy Ryan, Philadelphia against Chicago. There's two teams. And what's fun about this one for Justin Fields, he's like you said, you want to see in the future, at least in the present, you know, let's see what he can do. Let's see if he can pull this team into a back and forth game with Philadelphia as he's coming off of a bye. His shoulder should be feeling better. This is a very tough Philadelphia defense, but Justin Fields has confounded some opponents this year.
Confounded and confused some opponents. We don't have Khalil Herbert back yet. That should be next week. So fire up your David Montgomery engines and continue on with that. And that's really it. I mean, are you really relying on Chase Claypool? Nobody has N'Keal Harry. I mean, maybe Cole Kmet. He comes into the conversation. Equanimeous St. Brown. Did we even talk about Equanimeous St. Brown on the waiver wire show? Like, I'm just trying
Two weeks ago.
Yes. But this last week, no. And maybe people forgot. Like, oh, where were they? What were they doing? Oh, yeah, they were on bye. Now let's see what they can do coming out of that bye in the fantasy playoffs. Does that kind of trend continue for what we saw against the Packers in week 13?
This is a tough draw. Justin Fields should be in your lineup. Break ties in favor of Justin Fields. Justin Fields over Geno Smith, Jared Goff, those kind of players. He's shown you that he can take off and get a 12, 13, 14 point play on one long rushing touchdown. David Montgomery's probably in his low end running back too, just because of the passing game work he can get. The tougher the Eagles are against the run, that still can result in something good for him as a check down for Justin Fields. Probably going to play Cole Kmet unless you have one of those tight ends in our circle of trust, Njoku, Hawkinson, Schultz, Andrews, Kittle, Kelsey, and Equanimeous St. Brown. We'll see. This isn't the week I want to go with Equanimeous St. Brown just because of the outside corners for the Eagles, but maybe there'll be something there in the last few weeks. And the most important thing for the Bears is you can look forward to the future. See, you talked about it at the beginning of this preview of this game. You want to see this game in the future. If you're a Bears fan, you want to see your team in the future. Better things are coming. The horizon is bright because they took Justin Fields, because they didn't listen to certain people that were out there trying to spread libel, slander on Fields. He's letting his
disinformation.
Disinformation. Right. So I'm just happy for Fields. I'm happy for Bears fans. And this is one of the organizations that we're very optimistic about going forward.
Yeah. Very optimistic about, and just happy for Bears fans because it's been a while. It's been a minute. So let's see if you can get back. Happy for Desmond Ridder. Bloom, is that a good transition to our next game up? It is Atlanta and it is New Orleans. These two teams hate each other. How is 28-3 going to get involved in
this?
And it's funny that New Orleans always picks on that number, like regardless.
We'll always have that.
Weren't they like breaking down Matt Ryan's contract or something, like 28-3?
28 million over 3 years.
Right. Something like that. But anyway, so Atlanta is interesting because of Desmond Ridder. Now, Ridder has the moxie. Like, Ridder has all the tools. He's toolsy of a modern quarterback. He can run. He's got the arm, can make all the throws. I don't think it's a rocket. I saw him with Malik Willis. Like, Malik Willis has a rocket. This absolute hose of an arm. Just all over the place, like 80 yards, whatever. Ritter doesn't have that. But he has a strong arm, strong enough to make all the throws. The problem with Ritter, and I had to fight this locally, Bloom, because we had a lot of, like, get Desmond Ritter talk in Denver. Mm-hmm. And I had to shut it down because I was like, pressure is not good for him. Now, you could say that about every quarterback. But when a guy like completely abandons even his athleticism, because you'd think like, oh, he just, you know, he feels pressure to take off to run, which he does do at times. But Ritter also like forgets that he can run at times. It's weird. Pressure does weird things to him. And NFL pressure, again, watch the Alabama game. And again, Cincinnati didn't have slappies. Okay. No. So it wasn't all Desmond Ritter, right? Desmond Ritter led the Bearcats. Okay, that's fine. But he also had a ton of help. Watch the Alabama game. Anticipate what the pressure could be like. This is Dennis Allen licking his chops. I mean, this is Dennis Allen. This is Dennis Allen getting ready for that vanilla ice cream. He's going to sprinkle some crackers on it today. So he's all he's all super excited because everything's pretzels. Vanilla with Dennis Allen. It's like Jack Del Rio.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, you feel good for Desmond Ritter that he's going to get a chance to show that he's an NFL quarterback, right? He's going to get a chance. It looks like what IR for Marcus Mariota. So this is it, Desmond Ritter. And again, they're a game out of first. They're a game out of first with a winnable game while Tampa Bay has to play Cincinnati. So we might be talking about Atlanta tied for the lead here with this division if they can win this game in New Orleans. Now we look ahead to this game, and maybe we like the New Orleans defense. Maybe we like Desmond Ritter because he gets the surprise on them, but you would think they're going to stay committed to the run. Cordarrelle Patterson and what the heck flex. Drake London, could it get worse? Could it get better? Again, there's a big shrug of the shoulders here because we haven't seen what Desmond Ritter can do against an NFL defense, but NFL defenses haven't seen Desmond Ritter. But like you said, Cease, the running is going to be part of it. So your two quarterback super flex leagues, maybe you're a little more open to playing him because of the boost he can get from his running ability. And again, with the Falcons, it's been a disastrous fantasy season, right? There hasn't been any Falcon we can count on for any sustained stretch in the season, but yet they're a game out of first place. So it's about the team. It's about Arthur Smith. But like you said, Cease, in New Orleans, this has been a rough year. There's some report, Jeff Duncan. And if Jeff Duncan is saying it, Cease, it's pretty, you know, we're talking things.
Legit. Yeah.
He's saying that he talked to people that know Sean Payton, who said Sean Payton's going to coach next year. He asked one of the people, what team do you think he's most likely to coach for next year? And they said, the Saints.
New Orleans.
And Sean Payton is a maestro to take off a year, get some TV money. He looks so relaxed and comfortable. You know, he looks so happy. So, but for the Saints this year without Sean Payton, this is, I don't want to say it's a Super Bowl Cease, but it's a game that the city will forgive. The city's so forgiving. There's nothing even to forgive because the city's not really mad at the Saints. The Pelicans are doing well. Tulane's doing well. Hey, they say they had to sacrifice the Saints this year so that the Pelicans and Saints and Tulane Green Wave can do well. But this is a game that's going to have a lot of emotional intensity and maybe a lot of Taysom Hill.
Maybe a lot and a lot of Taysom Hill. Now, Saints side of things. Okay, it's I love how, what is it? What's the old song, Bloom? Who could it be now?
Who could it be now?
Somebody's knocking at your door. Saints side. It was not a shock when Dennis Allen announced it's still going to be Andy Dalton. Of course, it's Dennis Allen.
Right.
So you mentioned Taysom Hill. Are there others worth mentioning this week?
Yeah, that's a Men at Work. I had that cassette. I come from the land down under. So Taysom Hill, 4 for 81 and a touchdown as a runner against Atlanta in week one. And he's had outstanding games as a quarterback. It would just make sense the way the Falcons don't seem to have any antidote for the Taysom Hill poison that takes over your system and kills you. So this is a good week if you don't have a tight end that you feel like you truly trust to play Taysom Hill. We're going to see if they get Alvin Kamara going. I mean, we're at that point in the season. Cease, dance with who brung you. Alvin Kamara has been out back doing who knows what during the dance. And like he comes back in, we're going to dance with him. coming off the bye, maybe a little more spry, certainly an Atlanta game that gets this team's emotions up. So Alvin Kamara, it's Christmas time, makes me think of that 6-touchdown game that he had on Christmas. Chris Olave, you're going to keep playing. And there's not really, again, maybe it's New Orleans doing what Atlanta does and running the ball 35 times in this game with Taysom Hill, the point of the sphere. There's no point on a sphere. I don't know what I'm talking about here, but I know that the Superdome is going to be bumping on Sunday.
I know you were just rhyming, and that's awesome. Lions and Jets. I should just back out of the way and just be like, here comes the hot Lions talk. Here comes Sigmund Bloom talking about his Lions. Still waiting for that Lions t-shirt, buddy. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's all about timing. It's all about timing, everybody. But Lions and Jets side, Jets defense going to bring it. They're going to bring that pressure. So Jared Goff, you better be looking for your outlet targets. You better run the ball as much as possible with DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams. This one's on the road at the Jets place. Again, NFLweather.com, Bloom. But let's talk about those Lions, because the Jets will be motivated, let's say, on Sunday.
Yeah. What a game. What an interesting game.
That we would have never thought this at the beginning of the season. Like, Lions, yeah. Jets, who cares?
Oh, this is the six games going on the early slate, and this is the game you want to be watching. The weather should be cold, but it should be fine. Jets defense is tough, so I understand if you're a little hesitant to play Jared Goff. Man, this offense is humming right now. There's not really anybody we want to trust in the backfield. Now, if the Lions, and they do have a good running game, they have a diverse running game, so maybe this is that multiple offense luxury. Where, okay, against the Jets, maybe you want to attack their run defense. Well, Buffalo didn't seem to take that advice last week. You're definitely playing Amon-Ra St. Brown. DJ Chark, we saw he's in top form. He has the ability to win downfield, although he might see a lot of Sauce Gardner. We'll see if Jameson Williams gets sprinkled in a little more. You're not going to play him yet, even though he had that long touchdown, as they think they're bringing him along slowly. But from an offensive standpoint, this is still a good offense. How much is the Jets defense, which is a good defense, a limiting factor? We'll see. And this, both of these guys, Dan Campbell and Robert Saleh, were in the head coach top candidates. And I really thought Robert Saleh was going to stay in Detroit. He's a Dearborn guy. He's a Detroit guy. And I was a little disappointed for the Lions. Not now. And I wasn't disappointed for the Jets when they got him. Robert Saleh has ended up being a hit, a win as a head coach hire, and taking this team potentially to the playoffs in his second year would be quite a trick, like it would be for Dan Campbell. Obviously, the winner of this game is going to feel a lot better about their chances, but I don't even know who's going to be the quarterback for the Jets, so it's hard to know how to project this offense.
I suppose it's Mike White. I suppose. The news just came out this morning that Zach Wilson is now officially the backup, so it's like they're getting ready to go back to Wilson. Robert Saleh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that your GM has forced Zach Wilson upon you, and I'm sorry that you're feeling pressure. But it's the NFL, baby. It's a pressure-packed business. So just rely on Zonovan Knight.
Yeah.
Just keep relying on your other assets that aren't named your quarterback. Because Mike White, Brock Purdy needs to look at Mike White in the future and be like, oh, that could be me. Mm-hmm. Oh, they do figure you out. Oh, it's not always easy. Oh, they can't always game plan around it. Like, that's what happens, Bloom. So let's talk about the Jets in week 15.
Yeah. Zonovan Knight. Good player. Should get a lot of work. Lions run defense has been really good. So do you look at that recent trend of the Lions run defense shutting down good running backs, or do you look at the trend of Zonovan Knight being an important part of this offense? Probably running back to maybe more flex play. Still going to play Garrett Wilson, although if Zach Wilson starts, you know, kind of got a lump in your throat pressing the check mark for any Jets receiver. Certainly Elijah Moore. I think you're feeling okay about Moore if it's Joe Flacco or if it's Mike White. But otherwise, no. I think if Mike White's in, you're not playing him, because who knows? One hit. I think even if he plays through this injury, is he going to be comfortable? I don't know. And the Jets are a team, again, we saw this team headed towards the playoffs looking good, but you got to keep winning. And this is far from an easy game. They're at 7-6. You can see it as you start to look, and especially I think the playoff machines aren't out yet. I love playing with the playoff machines where you click, what if this team, this game goes this way, this game goes this way, who makes the playoffs, what's the tiebreaker? And you look ahead to what the Jets have, and Jacksonville, Seattle, Miami. Jacksonville's playing pretty well right now. So again, there's not one game. They could be 7-10. They could be 11-6. That's what's fun about the end of the season. It's also what's fun about the fantasy playoffs is these things line up. If the games mean more on the field, they mean more in our little fantasy leagues. But this game, I think, again, Bears fans, Lions fans, Jets fans, it's getting better.
It is getting better. Not for Steelers fans, though. So, how does losing to Carolina feel? Steelers and Panthers is up next, Bloom. And it should be Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, Kenny Pickett's had two concussions in, what, 8 weeks? Something like that? Like, why? Why? Now, the problem is they won't move on from Kenny Pickett. And they'll do the whole Steelers thing. Like, we could do this. Like, no, you've seen enough. And don't need to see any more. And honestly, just for his personal safety, like, don't put him out. It's just Mitchell Trubisky, everybody, and this is what you get. Why didn't they get Baker Mayfield? Anyway, Steelers side, I'm depressed, Bloom, because the Panthers are going to beat them. The Panthers are on a roll, man.
Yeah.
So let's get through the Steelers side so we can quickly get to the Panthers. And, oh, yeah, sleeper of the week.
Yeah, Mitchell Trubisky is he improves the passing game as far as production and efficiency, but then he throws those ill-timed interceptions. So Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, assuming Mitch is out there, wide receiver three flex material against Carolina. J.C. Horn's playing really well. Harris is going to get enough work to be a low-end running back too, although we may look back and say both Panthers backs were better. Pat Freiermuth is still going to stay in there. Not quite in the circle of trust top six, but somebody that you better have a compelling option if you're putting Freiermuth on your bench. But yeah, the Steelers, and hey, Steelers are 5-8. They're not out of it yet mathematically, but if you're losing the game like they did last week with the three interceptions and the missed field goal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you're probably not going to win. Meanwhile, the Panthers, another team, if they win, the Bucs lose to Cincinnati, they're tied for first place.
Tied for first place. Here we go, Carolina side. And, well, Bloom, we have the Sam Darnold Carolina Panthers to talk about saving your fantasy season. I don't know. You trust in Raheem Blackshear? DJ Moore's dealing with an injury. Mm-hmm. Okay. Shy Smith. Are we hot Shy Smith talking? I do like Shy Smith. I do. Senior Bowl, I believe. There's your bong rip. I think Jason's in the chat room. Jason, say more than hockey takes in the chat room. I'll put it up on the board. But put it on the board is what Sigmund said years ago for Dante Foreman. Chuba Hubbard as well. So Sam Darnold leaning on the ground game against the Steelers. Does it work? I'd say yes.
Yeah, I think so. The big question here is, if you had Hubbard and Foreman, who would you play? Because Hubbard was more involved in the passing game. Hubbard scored. Hubbard had as many yards as Foreman on seven fewer carries. So with that in mind, I'm probably putting Hubbard in. And like you said, we're bringing up Raheem Blackshear because this game, on any particular play, what is there, like a 75% chance that a running back is going to touch the ball for the Panthers? And that's a fine recipe for them. So I think, again, the interesting story here is that you could see this team tied for the division lead after this game. And you start to look forward and you say, okay, oh, well, sure, they're tied right now if the Bucs lose and they win. But Tampa Bay still has Arizona and Atlanta and a game with Carolina. Ooh, they can control their own destiny with Detroit and New Orleans. And that game with Tampa left on the schedule. So NFC South hasn't been pretty football cease, but it could make for some drama down the stretch.
Drama, drama, drama. When it comes to our next segment, Sleeper of the Week.
It's time for the Sleeper of the Week, powered by Sleeper.
Your Sleeper of the Week, presented by Sleeper, Sleeper, Sleeper. KJ Osborne, wake up.
Yeah.
Don't be a sleeper. Well, be a sleeper. Payoff as a sleeper? I don't know. Osborne, Bloom, who do you got for your sleeper of the week? Week 15, part one.
Taysom Hill certainly is on the short list here. I think that you're going to see Taysom Hill. It's Atlanta. Let's just keep betting on that trend as long as we can until it slows down. Other wide sleeper of the week, you know, I kind of like Alec Pierce. It only takes one play. They can establish the run with Jonathan Taylor, take a play action shot downfield to Desmond Ridder's former teammate. Maybe he could hit. The Vikings' pass defense has been very generous. I'm just not sure who's going to get their gift on Saturday.
People want to see more of you rapping, Bloom.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the chat room. I'm not even caught up to the chat room because they're all talking about you rapping. See, and Lester's phone.
This is, it's always about trauma, right? It's always about childhood memories. I can remember we were all getting into hip hop in the late 80s, 1988, the best year in hip hop history.
What's the first hip hop group you ever heard?
Oh, man.
Mine was Bobby, Jimmy, and the Critters. And if you know the song We Like Ugly Women, then you know, like, mid 80s hip hop.
Yeah.
Bobby, Jimmy, and the Critters.
I mean, I just remember when we were recording, again, we would watch MTV Raps on Friday night. We would go to the mall on Saturday. I've told the story before. I'd go to National Record Mart. Pittsburgh people know what I'm talking about. And we would get all the CDs that we saw the night before. But I remember my good friends who were cooler than me. We were all really into rap when we were in middle school. You know, passing around like Too Short. That's Sonic. Biz Markie. Rest in peace, Biz. And they were, I think they started off like a sort of Run DMC kind of beat, and they threw down a verse, and they threw down a verse, and then they threw it to me, and I crashed the car into the ditch, Cease. And I just, I'm so afraid. If I rap accidentally, this is a sick move, the accidental rap. And so maybe that's what I need to do.
Who's Taco from the league, whatever that, John Legrand or whatever, the comedian, and he does the, that one rap. I used to play it on the show. I heavily edited it though, because he goes through different, I'm Lethal Weapon 1, 2, and 3. Like, he has a different run, all these different style of rappers. Like, it's awesome. I definitely didn't explain it very well.
Maybe week 18, Cease. Maybe when we do the week 18 preview, week 18. We'll pick one game in the week 18 preview. We'll do like just freestyle rap.
What's the week that we stop doing the waiver wire? We're was it week 18? Okay, maybe we do like a week maybe do a week 18 waiver wire show, but then don't talk about waiver wire because why? Right.
We just do a freestyle rap to sum up the season, recap everything that happened in the regular season.
Yeah. We need to give out like awards, right? Isn't it award show time? Like end of the year time. Here's your audibles, your Siggy of the week, Sig, you know, whatever. Come up with some sort of ideas.
There's so much untapped potential here if we just, everyone else does.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. He is Sigmund Bloom. You follow him on Twitter. It is at Sigmund Bloom. And I am at Cecil Lammy. The show is at The Audible. We don't ever want it to stop. So we appreciate you for checking out footballguys.com and sleeper, 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 and all that kind of good stuff. And be safe. Be kind. Know that you are appreciated. Stay tuned. And as always, stay frosty. I'm glad you like that one.
New year, new grind.
Hashtag new year, new grind.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.